This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just coming up to 7:18. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now we're moving on to, I think, something that many people have been waiting for. Yesterday, Malaysia and Singapore announced a vaccinated travel lane between Changi and KLIA. That'll be kicking off starting November 29th.
And I mean, we're talking about a border that has been closed since March 18, 2020. Of course, our borders have been closed with most other countries since, but it's not typical for a border that is usually so heavily trafficked. If you wanted some context, I think pre-pandemic, approximately 300,000 people used to travel between Malaysia and Singapore every day. So that is a lot of people. And for a variety of reasons, whether it's work, whether it's trade, whether it's for family, that's a lot of people who have not been able to do so. So now under this new vaccinated travel lane, 6 daily flights will be operating between Changi and KLIA, and this would allow fully vaccinated individuals to travel back and forth. Instead of quarantine or stay-home notices, they will instead be subjected to COVID-19 tests.
So as of now, this is restricted to flights and air travel, but they are discussing a similar vaccinated travel scheme for travel across land links between Malaysia and Singapore. And, you know, we will, of course, be updating you on that as and when it happens. But we thought we'd discuss this really and talk about what this means in a larger sense. But we'd like to hear from you. The question on everyone's minds: are you planning to visit Singapore? You can call 777-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now joining us is Dr. Serena Rahman, visiting fellow with the ICS Yusof Ishak Institute. Dr. Serena, welcome to the show.
Good evening. Hello.
So there has been a lot of negotiation between Malaysia and Singapore to open up this travel lane. What do you make of yesterday's announcement? Is it what travellers have been calling for?
I think for many Malaysians, especially those in Singapore, and Malaysians here as well, they've been waiting for this because for the large part, families have been separated. And I think that's the most poignant of all the separations that we've had over this pandemic period. Of course, the southern border, when it comes to Johor, it's all about work commuting, some families as well. But I think there were many cases of families who were split during the pandemic and some sadly died. And so those who were in Singapore could not come back to bid their farewell to their parents. They could not go to the funerals. It was really quite sad. So I think there will be a lot of rejoicing at this announcement, and I am expecting tickets to be fully booked and snapped up and extremely expensive as people rush to come home.
How are you personally feeling about it? I mean, are you looking forward to being able to travel back and forth?
I used to take the land border to go to work. So I live in Johor and I work in Singapore. So I did the daily commute by bus. I'm pretty wary because I'm pretty wary about going out. I don't know about crossing into another country. So I'm just going to wait and see. For now, they say there's no quarantine. But if the infection numbers come up on either side of the border, anything can change. And once we open borders to so many other countries, then, you know, all these other funny variants will come in. And really anything can happen. So I'll just wait and see for now.
So overall then, how important is that lack of quarantine time when it comes to facilitating movement between the two countries?
It is. It makes a lot of difference. So I think people will think twice about coming if they had to stay in a hotel for a week or 2 weeks. Or even if they could stay at home, you know, in their own residence for 2 weeks, because it means you can't go out. So then it's like you have to take extended leave if you're taking leave to come back. You have to bear the cost if you're staying in a hotel. And to do that in Singapore is ridiculously expensive if you're a Malaysian going down to visit family. Perhaps if you're in Singapore and you're coming back here, then it's not so bad. But it's time as well. Who's got the time and patience to sit in quarantine? There's also the fear of having to take the test before and after, and finding out that you actually have COVID and you didn't know you had it. So there's all these worries and fears. I think a lot of people are also concerned about sitting on a plane because it's such an enclosed entity and you don't know if that's infectious. So because, you know, these are all new things after a long period of stress and strain, I think there will be a bit of doubt, even though there is a lot of excitement at the possibility of meeting family and friends again.
Now, what economic value will the travel lane have for both sides?
I think, you know, Singapore and Malaysia are intertwined in terms of business, economy and all of that. But we had the RGL, which allowed business people and officials to travel for single entry for a while. That's been disbanded for now. So I think business actually continued even throughout the pandemic because special permissions were given for business. This is like an opening for just anyone that wants to come in and out. And so, you know, business will increase, of course, because then you have all these people from other countries coming in, and that will boost our tourism economy, that will boost our F&B, it will boost our retail. And this has been struggling severely throughout the pandemic. So that will be good. But business per se, like on a larger scale at the macro perspective, I think did not grind to a halt between the two countries because there were exemptions provided for those who were traveling for business and official purposes.
And how would you describe bilateral relations between Malaysia and Singapore over the course of the pandemic? Will this travel lane change that in any way?
No, I think bilateral relations from a G2G angle has always been positive. I think the governments have been trying to find ways to open the doors between the two countries because they are so intertwined and interdependent. The problem really was just COVID and trying to protect either side from each other because, you know, there were... At one point, Malaysia was going up. First, Singapore was going up in numbers, and then it went down, and Malaysia went up. And now I think Singapore's numbers are rising a little bit, and Malaysia perhaps is creeping up. So everybody's wary, but because we're starting to take the pandemic, the virus, as an endemic issue, and because the economy has been slow for so long, I think there is a need to try to open up and see what happens. It's a very difficult situation to try and balance the economy and people's health and well-being, especially mental well-being from being away from family for so long and separated during difficult times or death. But, you know, I think these are the first steps in trying to make it happen.
There are also talks about restoring travel across land links between both countries in the near future, which is obviously, as you mentioned, what you were taking before. What can we expect from this?
I think a lot of people in Johor will be very relieved. The more than 300,000 people crossing between Singapore and Malaysia was just in Johor, and this was by land. So, you know, a lot of these people were left without jobs when the borders closed. They could not go into Singapore. They had, some of them had to sell their homes, their cars, their bikes, because they could no longer service loans that were based on Singapore dollar incomes. I think given how the economy has been slow over the pandemic period, those same people struggle to get jobs as well, just as everybody else, you know, lost their jobs because of the pandemic. So the opening of the borders, if it allows the daily commuters or the weekly commuters, I think will allow people to start looking for jobs in Singapore again. That might help Singapore's economy as well, because Singapore is quite dependent on the Malaysian worker in its F&B, in its, you know, construction, renovation businesses, hairdressing salons and all of that. But it also allows Singaporeans to enter Johor. And Johor's economy is greatly dependent on Singapore, given, you know, tourism, F&B, food. People come in on the weekends to shop, to eat, to go for a massage. All of that has been missing for the last almost 2 years now. I think we'd be very happy to welcome them back. It will help the Johor economy. The only issue is whether the pandemic then, you know, resurfaces and slams us with another wave again.
So on that note then, what lessons can we learn from other countries that have opened their borders?
I'm not quite sure, because I just saw in the papers this week that Europe is again the epicenter of COVID and they are trying to live with the pandemic as usual. Life has to go on. We need to try and figure out a way to make this as normal as possible. But, you know, the immunocompromised, the elderly, the young children, they are at risk. So we do have to take precautions and not be like released from cages and go out crazy and forget that this thing is still out there. So I think balance needs to be found. Caution still needs to be had. Care needs to be taken. Lessons from other countries, perhaps, is to see how they're trying to make it happen. They're moving without masks, which, you know, after almost 2 years of wearing masks, seeing them moving like that seems a bit scary. And just hope that they find better, stronger vaccines that can help us, you know, I don't know, be rid of this illness forever. I don't know if it's possible.
So in closing then, is there anything you'd like to leave us with?
It's new rays of hope. We can only hope for better. and hope that, you know, the numbers do not skyrocket as it did for a while, and, you know, just celebrate being able to meet with family and friends again.
Dr. Serena, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Good night.
That was Dr. Serena Rahman, visiting fellow with the ICS Yusuf Ishak Institute, speaking to us about the vaccinated travel lane that's just been announced between Malaysia and Singapore. And we'd like to hear from you, of course. Are you planning to visit Singapore now that we can? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.